Welcome to the Capital Connection, a weekly program questioning New York State leaders on a variety of issues. Your host is Dr. Alan Chartok, political scientist and professor emeritus at the University at Albany. Distribution of the Capital Connection is made possible with the help of New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org. And NISCASA, the New York State Coalition Against Sexual Assault, working to support men in their decisions to end sexual violence with the My Strength Is Not For Hurting campaign, online at nyscasa.org.
Welcome to the Capital Connection. I'm Alan Chartok. Joining us today is Billy Easton, Executive Director of the Alliance for Quality Education. Founded in the year 2000, the Alliance for Quality Education is a statewide nonprofit that works to improve public education. Billy Easton, my old friend, welcome to the program.
Alan, it's always great to see you.
You've got a tough job, don't you? And your job is to make sure that the school kids of New York State don't get screwed.
Well, it's been tough the last few years because, truthfully, the state has basically been doing exactly that to the school kids. You know, we've seen just a tremendous amount of classroom cuts all over the state. You know, the state cuts the funding, and the result is that schools cut programs.
But what exactly are they doing? In other words, how has this all come about? Is it the fact that the governor put on this 2% tax cap, which has limited how much school boards can raise? What's going on?
Well, the biggest problem actually is that the state has really abandoned its responsibility to provide enough funding from the state level. You know, the local property tax cap definitely hurts schools, but a bigger problem, especially for, you know, higher needs, poorer communities, is that the state funding has really dried up. So that the state cut $2.7 billion in classroom funding in just 2 years. And then there's another cap besides the property tax cap that's gotten a lot less attention, which is the state Governor Cuomo enacted a cap on state aid, saying that, oh, the state will never give more than a certain percentage increase a year. This year it's a 4.4%. And the problem is that combined with the property tax cap just doesn't add up. And it's just not enough money. We had that increase last year, and the result was that the schools made cuts.
Well, I hate to get you into trouble, but I'll try. Governor Cuomo has made a big deal about making education more viable, asking school districts and others to hire the right kinds of teachers, to do all this. Is that all, nonsense when it comes to the real fundamental, which is spending enough money on the kids?
Well, you know, the bottom line is that a lot of that stuff, the teacher evaluation system is an untested theory. You know, there's no actual research behind this system of using particularly test scores to evaluate teachers is not really got any track record of success. It's not just about evaluating teachers anyways. It's sort of like we have this dynamic that the governor's is sort of been going along with, which is very popular in this country. There's a lot of sort of blame the teacher. There's a lot of emphasis on testing.
Terrible.
And,
that's really terrible.
And it's not what works. I mean, the proof is in the pudding. We could look at countries that are world leaders in education. You can go right to Ontario, Canada. You want to find a world leader. And they don't do that. It's all about how do you support teachers? Sure, figure out where they need to improve. But then what's the next step? Is it a gotcha system? Or are we trying to help them improve?
There are those who would unkindly say, Billy Easton, that your organization, the Alliance for Quality Education, is a tool of the teachers' unions and that you just mouth their platitudes.
Well, you know, we have gotten attacked. I think when we've been effective, some of the people have come after us with that. That's one thing, you know, the governor's press people sometimes say that. The fact of the matter is that we are a coalition of organizations, primarily parent and community groups. We work with the teachers union at times closely, but we have different positions on certain issues. And we are very committed to equity is our top priority, and opportunity is our top priority for students in high need school districts, which have been shortchanged. Those are our priorities.
So let me ask you this, Billy. How can we get better teachers?
Well, you know, what actually works is to create a culture in schools, which is based on collaboration between teachers, between treating teachers with respect as professionals who actually know what they're doing and getting them to help each other to improve. That is actually work. There's research that shows that if you create a supportive culture in a school, all teachers will do better. When you focus on just the individual teacher and assessing them and rating them, there's no evidence to show that will work. In fact, there's evidence that would show that that will not work.
So do you think Andrew Cuomo is scapegoating teachers by coming up with this business?
Well, I don't know if I'd go that far, but I think there is a lot of scapegoating that goes on out there that, you know, there's other organizations out there, national organizations, people like Michelle Rhee, like, you know, Michael Bloomberg, I would say, the mayor of New York City, has been scapegoating teachers. So it's just more of a trend, this emphasis on the evaluation system. I think it does create like a, the problem is that what it distracts from what we really need to focus on, which is not just the funding, but what's going on in our schools. So what we're talking about teacher evaluations, we're talking about competitive grants, which is another untested theory that actually has not worked in New York so far. Instead of talking about how do we give every student the high quality curriculum they need, how do we give every student access to pre-K, longer school day, a school year? Those are good things that work, but we need it for all students, especially in high-need schools. Those are the kind of things that work. And how do we support teachers to improve? That's sort of the mix of things that will improve education, but that's not where the conversation's going. So instead, we talk about evaluations. It's a good political soundbite. We talk about competitive grants. It's a good political soundbite, but again, it's a program that, you know, right here in New York, they the first year of it was totally unsuccessful.
Now, Billy Easton, you've been watching the Senate, the Assembly. Where's the action these days in terms of supporting teachers and education?
Yeah, and you know, I mean, it's not just about teachers; it's about schools and about the kids in the schools and the funding. I think the Assembly has always been the strongest. The Assembly majority, Shelley Silver and the Assembly majority have always been the strongest on these issues. The Senate Democrats have always been strong. But what you've seen in the last few years, it's very interesting because there's always this conflict within the Senate Republican Conference between the upstate senators and the downstate senators. They, you know, the Long Island senators, they have a good way of closing ranks often, but increasingly high-need rural and small-city school districts have been really hurt in the last few years. They're all making cuts every single year. And so they've been really pushing their senators. So now you see a number of the upstate senators saying, hold on, maybe not everything's working for us. We need to make sure our schools get their fair share of the pie.
Now, it's very interesting, as we all have been watching this kind of thing. The Democrats have more members than the Republicans, but they have a couple of disaffected folks who have sort of opted out. They've gotten, some people think they're pound of flesh or gold or whatever, and Senator Klein is the head of that group. And there are those people who think that Andrew Cuomo really wants the Republicans to be in power because they'll say no, and in that way he can play his fiscal conservative role. How does that affect education, this whole thing?
Well, I think, you know, there's definitely a big problem. The governor's policy on education has basically been to underfund the schools. And in order to do that, he needs a partner. And, you know, we saw just a couple of years ago when the governor took the lead on cutting taxes on millionaires and billionaires that Dean Skelos and the Senate Republicans were his partner. And that really, you know, in Albany, it's always about, you know, who are going to be the two that are on one side out of the three players, you know, and now maybe it's four, you know, with Klein in the mix and the idea, the independent Democrats. But who are going to be the two players that will align together against the other one on major issues? That's how it tends to unfold. So we've seen that. So, yeah, I think that there's definitely the case that when the governor's had the agenda, which is to, you know, cut investment in schools inadequately, you know, cap funding for schools in ways that are inadequate, that he has had a partner in many ways with the Senate majority. You know, again, it's not all cut and dried. We'll see what happens this year because, you know, we have a budget now that's before us that has some good things in it. You know, it has a pretty good distribution of the funds that are provided are actually, you know, high-need schools. It's just not enough money. And, I mean, you know, I'm not just sitting here saying, oh, money, 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 money. The facts are the facts. You know, we had this basically the same amount of money last year, and yet 60% of schools raised class sizes. You know, 30% of schools cut back on summer school. Arts, music, all have been on the chopping block. And the problem is, this is not just a short-term phenomenon now, these cuts. This, if we don't add money, this will be the fifth year in a row that schools have made classroom cuts. And it's intolerable. We're undermining our economic future and the lives of our young people, their future as adults, if we don't invest adequately in them.
When Eliot Spitzer was elected governor, he made a big thing about increasing our commitment to education. Could you compare and contrast, if you were my student, I would ask you to have a blue book, compare and contrast the Cuomo approach with the Spitzer approach?
It's dramatically different. Eliot Spitzer, as governor, settled the statewide campaign for fiscal equity, the lawsuit, which was, charged at the schools, where the courts found that the state was underfunding our schools. Governor Spitzer settled that lawsuit, provided $5.5 billion in new funding, a commitment over 4 years, which would go overwhelmingly to high-need districts. The first year that Governor Cuomo was in office, he cut funding for schools by $1.3 billion, with the largest cuts coming to poor and average need districts. So I think that what the governor has done, in my opinion, Governor Cuomo has done, is he's basically looked at education as something, it's one of the two, biggest drivers in the state budget. And he said, I just want to spend less money, and that's been his primary focus. And, we're not really looking at I don't think he's looking enough at what the impact of that is. So Spitzer really made a commitment to fund schools, raise quality. The result was we saw new programs. We saw growth in pre-K statewide. We saw a growth in programs, improving the quality of curriculum, programs for English language learners, making sure that, high schools and junior highs were preparing kids for college. That was all the direction we were moving in. The economy tanked. The rug got pulled out under that. We thought that was temporary. But actually, under Governor Cuomo, he's made that sort of permanent, where we're not really, we have no plan to adequately fund our schools. And from now on, we'll just see cuts every year.
I know you're not inside Governor Cuomo's head, but what in the world could he be thinking? I mean, it's so interesting to me that a guy who thinks he knows the public will, plays it, has a 70-something percent approval rating, lets the schools sink. Why?
As you said, I'm not inside his head. It's hard to second guess why he's doing it. But I think at the top of the list is that to adequately educate our students actually does cost money. And, he has had other priorities. His first year in office, he made tax cuts on millionaires and billionaires, over $2.5 billion in tax cuts. He has talked a lot about, and I think certainly would like to see us have a lot of good schools. He's talked about changing the paradigm, but what he's doing is he's creating these competitive grant programs. Last year, there was $50 million for two competitive grant programs. They only were able to give out $17 million of the money, so it's not even working. And those programs that he created, he wants to expand that to $100 million, and that's sort of the area of the talking point. But the reality is we lost $2.7 billion over 2 years in our schools. The $100 million just doesn't, it's sort of like, in a sense, doing it on the cheap.
Our guest is Billy Easton, executive director of the Alliance for Quality Education, an advocacy group for kids. So how do you fund yourself? Where do you get the money from?
Well, we get mostly from foundations. We have, I think there's a lot of noise that's been made about the fact that we have over the years on different occasions gotten some money from the teachers union. We're not shy about that. But the Schott Foundation for Public Education has been a long-term supporter, New York Community Trust. Other foundations have supported who believe in the agenda that, we're promoting about how to improve the quality of schools through research-based strategies.
Now, the governor has now gone into this new thing where he says, if you don't do what I want, I'm taking money away from your schools. So, for example, you've already mentioned the idea that, you're going to test the teachers. And if you don't come up with a test I like, I'm taking money away from you. What's the score on that one right now?
Well, that is a hot button issue right now. I mean, the New York Times reported just the other day that, Speaker Sheldon Silver was starting to draw a line in the sand on that issue and saying, wait a minute, we put $260 million into New York City schools. There were about five other school districts that were also affected by this. The inability of the mayor of New York City and the head of the teachers union to reach an agreement should not come out of the hides of our children's education. And the state That's not just money that if it's not restored, New York City schools would lose one time. That's money that they would be getting every single year, $260 million a year from now on. And so it's a huge impact. And I think there's a big pushback that you didn't see before now coming, particularly from the Speaker and the Assembly majority on the issue of tying school aid to that, the issue of the mayor and the union or the local school district and the union reaching an agreement on teacher evaluations.
Billy Easton, what is the downside of teacher evaluations?
Well, you know, teacher evaluations, of course, should happen and are a good thing. The question is this evaluation system going to be a good one? And then what's the next step? So if you overemphasize test scores in evaluating teachers, it's likely you're going to get the behavior that you're prioritizing, which is teaching to the test. We already have a big problem in our schools with teaching to the test. We now have a system with this evaluation system, and it's not just in New York. It's in many states all over the country. Now this is a federal policy. So what happens is at the beginning of the year, students have to take a test, which serves no purpose other than evaluating the teacher. Students will have to take all these tests at the beginning of the year just so they can create a baseline against which the teacher will be evaluated. It's not an educationally valid thing for the students. So it's the amount of testing is stressing students out. So you have this thing where the more you use tests as a high stakes driver and accountability mechanism for schools, the more we've seen the quality of education undermined as students are not ready for college. Something you'd know about, Alan. From your days in SUNY. You know, it's just
40
not,
years worth.
Yeah.
So if you test, and you know the teacher doesn't do as well as expected, would the teacher therefore be penalized for going into a high needs school district? That's something that I've often wondered about. I mean, if you got a Scarsdale, you got your parents, you got your tutors, you've got your whatever you need. If you go to a high needs school district and you pretest, as you said before, and the teacher has to, you know, you have a baseline against, but it's not as easy to bring that kid up as it is to get in Scarsdale.
Well, I mean, that's, you know, that is one of the questions, and you know, it's the issue of that, you know, it is supposed to be measuring student improvement over time.
Right.
So, you know, of course, every student should be learning and improving what they know over the course of the year. I think certainly there's bigger challenges in higher need schools, especially at a time when they've seen so many resource cuts, so many program cuts. But even more than that is that the way that the testing overall narrows the curriculum. So we have these two forces that are narrowing the curriculum. One is the emphasis on testing, and schools get grades on tests. Schools get closed based on tests. Now teacher evaluation on tests. There are people who want to make teacher pay based on tests, even though, again, that research shows that that is a failure. Then there's, what are we doing? We're narrowing down. Learning is not just what you can fill out on a bubble test. You know, that's not what's going to prepare our kids for today's world, is being able to just know how to answer those kind of multiple choice questions. And so it's nothing wrong with testing. There's nothing wrong with evaluating people. But what's the purpose and what's the impact? And we're not looking enough at what the impact is.
Now, the New York State Teachers Union has a lawsuit against this tax cap, which we discussed earlier. What do you make of that?
Well, you know, we've endorsed that lawsuit. I think that overall, there are some particular provisions of the tax cap that we find particularly troubling. One is it's the most restrictive and regressive tax cap in the country. There's no other one that's as restrictive as this. When you had this kind of a tax cap implemented in California, their schools went from one of the best school systems in the country to one of the worst over time.
And just, Billy, just so that everybody understands what the tax cap is, you can't raise your budget over 2% without going back to the voters.
Well, even then, you have to get it approved by the voters. But you can't even, you have to actually get over 2%, you have to get a 60% approval rating. So New Paltz, they got over 59% of the voters approved the budget, and just over, it was just 13 votes away from the 60%. And you know, just over 40% were against it. So the 40% have more power than the 60%, or the 41% more than the 59%. It's undemocratic. It's like, we already have a system of people being able to vote on their taxes in the schools. And schools actually have, over the last several years, really, as the economy's been tight, restricted their local tax levies. So that's one of the concerns we have, is the fact that you have this undemocratic 60% override, and the fact that the there's not enough exceptions for the costs that are out of the control of schools. You know, some of the you know, fluctuations in employee costs, some of the issues like transportation, which can, you know, depend on the, we're all subject to what the oil companies do when we fill our tanks. You know, so some of those energy costs, you know, I think that those things, there should be some flexibility.
Talk to me just for a minute. We've talked before about this, but about charter schools. Are charter schools diminishing the ability of the other public schools to do their jobs?
Well, that is definitely a problem. I mean, particularly, we're sitting here in Albany, and this is one of the places where it's sort of charter school central. You get a high enough concentration of charter schools in a community. The charter schools are funded out of the local school district's budget. So, you know, it takes money, a lot of money, right out of the classrooms of the regular public schools. They were supposed to be sort of laboratories for learning to help improve the public schools, create innovation, but that was only kind of a sales pitch. That part has never panned out. It's never been a priority of the charter schools. So, you know, they do divert a lot of money from the regular classrooms. They also, again, they're sort of another one of these distractions across the country. You know, there'll never be more than 5% of kids in charter schools, yet look how much time we spend talking about them. What we really need to be focusing our energy and our time on is the 95% of kids who are in regular public schools, and what are we going to do, particularly in those high-need schools, to raise the quality of education and outcome. The other thing is that on charter schools is that, you know, they have a great a lot of money behind them, and as a result, a great PR campaign they're able to run all the time, but they don't really have overall better results than comparable public schools.
Billy Easton, one of the charges about why our teachers aren't always up to snuff is that the schools of education are not doing a good job. Is that right?
I think that there's no question that the schools of education need to be more closely aligned with, you know, what's happening in our public schools, and what actually, you know, wouldn't be bad if the schools of education and the rest of the college talk to each other, because we're preparing the teachers to go teach the kids to get them back into the college. So, you know, I think that we really do need to align our schools of education. That is definitely one of the pieces. You know, look, overall, there's a series of things that need to happen, you know, that all have to work together. So our schools of education, focus on effective strategies in the classroom, adequate resources, all have to happen.
If we paid our teachers starting at $70,000, something I think we should, would we have a better teacher corps?
You know, teachers should be rewarded for high good work, but, you know, for being committed. But teachers are not motivated primarily by money. Teachers are primarily motivated by teaching and learning. So I think that we should really be focusing on how are we supporting teachers to continuously improve teaching and learning, and I think that they would, you know, we'd see great outcomes.
Yes or no? Longer school day?
Longer school day, longer school year, yes.
Our guest on the Capital Connection has been Billy Easton, Executive Director of the Alliance for Quality Education. Billy, you're always welcome here. You make a great deal of sense. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Alan.
The Capital Connection is distributed with the cooperation of the public radio stations of New York State. Ian Pickus is producer of The Capital Connection, a production of WAMC, Northeast Public Radio, in Albany. Support for The Capital Connection comes from New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org. And NISCASA, the New York State Coalition Against Sexual Assault, working to support men in their decisions to end sexual violence with the My Strength Is Not For Hurting campaign. Online at nyscasa.org.